This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
There are literally crazy people that are running for election in America today. Did you know that? I mean, we're talking slap crazy, certifiable nut jobs. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor that you are hanging out with us. We are so delighted to have you with us today. 3 hours of great conversation. Actually, it's about 2.5 hours of great conversation. No, I'm just kidding. Every single day, our team works incredibly hard to bring you a great show, an entertaining show, and we've got a lot of great guests coming up as well, including Mary Walter. Also, Bob McEwen's going to be dropping by, and Josh Jones giving us a blow-by-blow of all of the primaries today. This is sort of like a primary palooza, with the big ones being in Michigan and Virginia. And Peyton McNabb is going to be here, the very latest with the WNBA. May I just say this, Dylan? I know you're a big sports guy. Clay Travis is putting money where mouth is. And he actually wants to buy a WNBA team. And he wants to hire only men who identify as women as the basketball players, or just flat out men, and they can pretend to identify. He's going to call the team the Nashville Bulls.
Of course he is.
And
why wouldn't he?
And I want to be a part owner of this.
Yeah.
I actually sent Travis a text message last night, and a lot of people are like, wait a second, you guys compete on the radio? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, we're still pals. I mean, it's a good thing.
You can unite on this front.
Exactly, here. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, Travis is all in on this, and I think this is a brilliant idea because, again, the WNBA is now on the record saying that they want men playing in the league. So, Dylan, I'm thinking Shaquille O'Neal size players with wigs on.
Yeah, that's a sight to see for sure.
It's like, remember, I don't know if you guys did this. Back when I was in school, we were very politically incorrect. So we had like an ugly woman contest, and it was where the guys, you know, would dress up, and usually it was the guys on the football team, you know, either the offensive or defensive line, and they would dress up, and then you would vote who was the ugliest woman. And people got a good chuckle out of that.
I missed that part of high school.
Yeah,
for sure. It's,
you see, you guys are missing out on a lot because y'all are, you know, you went to
you're
a
soft.
Woke school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then did you guys do donkey basketball?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's the best part. So they would always do a donkey basketball game where all the players would be on donkeys. And in all seriousness, back in high school, and you would play basketball, but you would have to shoot from the back of a donkey.
What, did you live near a farm? How do you get that many donkeys? Well, first of all, how do you get that many donkeys that will, like,
well, depending
play
on what,
basketball?
Depending on what town you live in, there could be a lot of asses around. Yep. So you never know. So
I guess you're right about that.
But in the biblical sense of the term, of course. And then, did you ever drive your tractor to school day?
No, but I know schools that did nearby.
Yeah. So and did your school get out on? Did your school get out on the first day of deer season?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was an actual holiday. They had to make because everybody showed up. Everybody was out shooting something.
Regardless of whether you hunt or not, you're shooting something that day.
Exactly. So all that to say, that's what I'm talking about. So it's like ugly women, you know, a basketball team. And Clay Travis, and he's serious about it, in all seriousness. And I love this idea. And I'm willing to buy in. I'm willing to put down some money on this because I think it would be a great investment. They would never lose a game, Dylan.
He should add a rule that they can only dunk, too.
On, yes. Could you imagine? Did you see the elbow that poor Sophie Cunningham got the other
day? Oh, yeah.
Somebody said she lost 17 teeth. I don't think that's accurate, but I'm surprised that she didn't lose a lot of teeth on that.
Yeah, she's taken a beating recently.
So imagine if you had Clay's, imagine the men of the Nashville Balls.
Shaquiqua. With the blonde hair.
LeBronette. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yes. LeBronia. Yeah, absolutely. But could you imagine giving them an elbow? They'd be in the third row of the stadium.
Oh, yeah, they're gone. They're flying away.
It's that's terrible.
I'm thinking of more Hold on. Janelle Morant.
That's a good one. So anyway, he's got a $10 million bet on the line. Clay Travis does. $10 million bet. For Aces versus the boys' high school team of his choosing.
Oh, my gosh.
I love this. And he also wants to buy the WNBA franchise. He was going to call it the Nashville Balls. He says it will be the most inclusive women's men's team ever. I love this idea. I mean, and again, this is, I mean, you want to talk about putting money where your mouth is. I mean, this is an excellent thing that Clay Travis is wanting to do for America. And for women in sports. I mean, the idea, $10 million bet, that could go a long way to getting some of these, you know, these gals on the WNBA team some professional help, you know. And,
this is true.
You know, hair and makeup. And
it's entertainment in its purest form.
It's true. So all of this, of course, is in the backdrop of these attacks. So now the WNBA has formally become, I guess, a transgender basketball league, and they're attacking any woman, any girl. Did you see, what was it, a couple of days ago? You had these poor teenage girls, and they were holding a sign, "We love you, Sophie, you know, girl power, woo-hoo." And so the girls were just having a good time at the WNBA. So then it's like the coach comes over and starts screaming. So, and again, at first I thought it was a dude. And I'm like, man, who is this, like, really sissified dude? And it turned out to be a woman. The co-owner of the team attacking these young girls. It's disgusting. And then some dude comes by. And I knew he worked at a department store just by the way he flitted his hand. Go away! Go away! He works at, I think, Nordstrom's.
Has to be.
Yeah. In the ladies' unmentionable section.
Yes.
I don't know. I just made that up. So all that to say, good for you, Clay Travis, because if we're going to have to go down this really weird, perverted rabbit hole, then let's go down it. All the way. And that's why I love this idea. And Clay Travis should field him. I mean, this needs to happen. And even if the WNBA, so why do I keep saying that? WNBA. Oh, you know what it is? It's Howard Stern. Have you seen the movie Private Parts?
I have not.
All right, you got to watch it. It's one of the best radio movies out there. If you really want to understand the radio industry, you got to watch that movie. Anyway, when Howard Stern was hired at WNBC, the professional announcer came in, and because Howard Stern would say, "And welcome back to WNBC." And they said, no, that's not how we do it. You have to, it's WNBC, WNBC. And it's a great scene in the movie. But that's how they actually pronounce the radio station, like KWAM. KWAM. No, we don't use KWAM. But WNBC. So WNBA, the World Lesbian Basketball Association, or maybe, just maybe, maybe they just start a separate league for just the straight white chicks? Is that, I mean, you don't want to segregate, but I mean, I kind of feel bad for these white girls. They're getting the ever-loving daylights beaten out. I've never seen anything like it.
It's not fair, and it's all legal. Like, people are watching this, and they're paying for it.
And can I just, and is it Caitlin? I get Caitlin Clark and Caitlin Collins, who looks like Dylan Moulton. No, she's the one that looks like Dylan. By the way, can we go back to that for a moment? When Trump made the joke about Dylan Mulvaney and Caitlin Collins, is that the eyebrows chick over at CNN?
Collins, yeah.
They do, I mean, you put two pictures side by side. I dare you tell me which one's which.
Yeah.
Trump was, and by the way, everybody was all upset about Trump. You know, oh, you're a big transphobe. Huh? You transphobe, Cheeto man. No, he wasn't. He was actually paying a compliment, right? So what happened was Trump's joke exposed the transphobia within CNN. My only question is, what are you guys saying that, what, Dylan Mulvaney's ugly or something? What? I'm just asking here. By the way, I know I'm all over the place right now, Dylan. That's the whole, no, and I did not dip into the reserves last night, this morning. When I say that, we should tell everyone we received a package last night or yesterday afternoon after the show. And it was a box. And just by the nature of the box, when I picked it up, I could tell there was something very large and liquid inside. And I immediately looked, and you guys don't know that this happened because you guys were up here. I could tell there was liquid inside. There was no return address. So I opened it. But I went to the far back of the, you know, we have a secure bunker where we open our packages. So if it explodes, you know,
it's called the bomb room.
Thank you. It's somewhat blast proof. At least that's what they told us down at Home Depot. I'm not so sure about it. Anyway, I was really hesitating whether or not I should open this, especially because we had the book launch party and I didn't want to show up at the book launch party with no arms because, you know, it's hard to sign with my teeth.
Very hard.
So anyway, I open it and inside there was not a bomb. It was bourbon. Lee Greenwood apparently is getting into the booze business or something. So he's got his own bottle of booze.
Thank you, Lee Greenwood.
All that to say, I did not imbibe before the show. I just had a lot of different bits and pieces that we needed to talk about today.
It would be a little early to dip into that right now.
You'd be surprised in the radio business.
Right, yeah.
You'd be surprised. I'm just going to tell you.
Todd, I was very offended because you invited all the men down to look at it. And you were like, men of, you know, KWAM, of Starnes Media, come down. And I was very excluded.
Well, I did that intentionally because, you know, you're a good church-going gal, Helen. And, you know, I also, you know, this is kind of a manly men's drink. And, you know, you ladies are all about the spritzers and the appletinis and the whatnot.
I don't want to say this is true, but I am more of like a sweet drink person.
See, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. So I was just trying to protect, you know, your virtue by just bringing the guys downstairs.
It's very kind.
You're welcome. All right. So all that to say, ladies and gentlemen, Clay Travis throwing a wrench into the narrative here. And I think it's a brilliant strategy. Oh, look, when we're fighting the left, you got to be able to do it with a sense of humor because these people are libtards, every single one of them. And the worst of the worst libtards are the feminazi libtards because they're just perpetually angry because they can't get men. They'll never have husbands. And you know why? It's because they're libtards. You don't have to be one. And that's the whole point of this radio program is to bring people out of their libtardedness, if you will, so that they can stop, Dylan, so that they can live productive lives and happy lives. I mean, we don't want these angry, morbidly obese, purple-haired women raging across America. Nobody wants to see that. No, of course not. So we want to make things right, which is why we have on standby a team of professional hairstylists and makeup artists that are more than willing, and yes, life coaches that are, yes, also a Pilates instructor, who are more than happy to help these women see the error of their ways and become lovely women of America. That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. It's primary day. Also, we have some updates coming from New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani. And his Jim Crow 2.0 plan. We're going to get into all of that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Half a century later, Watergate still shapes how Americans view power, scandal, and trust. This weekend, the America 250 film series presents Watergate Secrets and Betrayals. Revisit the investigation through archival footage, interviews, and new arguments about what happened. Watch Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
Todd, I know a little bit about these Fruit Loops working in these department stores. I was at Victoria's Secrets with a girlfriend a few years ago. This transgender walked up to my girlfriend and thought he would tell her what she would look good in versus what I tell her. I said, okay, Fruit Loop, you can go anytime now. So, yeah, I know what they look like.
Wow, so many questions there for Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Just the first question pops to mind is he still dating the girlfriend? Dylan, do you pick out your wife's outfits? Your wife's outfit.
My wife's. Yeah,
you're not Mormon, yeah, so go ahead.
My wife. I pick out her like dresses for dates sometimes. It's a fun little mix up, if you will. But I wouldn't go as far as anything else. Just like the dress or, you know, whatever.
This show is completely off the rails.
Already.
I don't know how this happened. But of course, you know why. Today is sort of a big day. My book is coming out. August the 11th, but tonight we're doing the big book launch party, and I know people have been calling and asking, hey, can I come to the party? Yeah, you can, and it's in Memphis, Germantown, you just give us a call. If you would like to attend, we'd love for you to join us tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of the candidates who are running for office are going to be there. You're going to be able to purchase a book, so this is the crowd that will be able to purchase the first copies of the book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And we'd love for you to come out. JoJo's is a wonderful place. As a matter of fact, it's where I wrote a good chunk of this book, and it's just one of my favorite coffee house destinations. So again, if you would like information, if you live in the Memphis area and you want to drive out tonight for the event, just give us a quick call, and Helen will be happy to send you all the information. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Also, can I just say thank you to Newsmax Magazine? Many of you subscribe to Newsmax Magazine. They gave us a huge two-page spread in the magazine. So if you've already gotten your August issue of Newsmax Magazine, you've probably seen it. It's called Our New Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Freedom Comes at a Cost. Who wrote this? I've got my reading glasses on here. Marissa Herman is the author of the piece, and I think she just did a terrific job. She spelled my name correctly and got my quotes accurate. So that's all you can ask for these days. But it's a very well-written piece. And we certainly appreciate the good people at Newsmax giving us such a great spread. Also, they provided a little snippet from the book. I may read that a little bit later on to you. But anyway, if you go to Newsmax.com/Golden Age, that's Newsmax.com/Golden Age, you can actually get a free copy of the book with Newsmax's special offer. So again, be sure to check that out, Newsmax.com/Golden Age, if you want to get a copy. Wait a second, free? Wait, what? Dylan, wait, what? Get my agent on the line. What's that all about?
Todd Starnes giving away free stuff.
Good Lord, man. So anyway, but no, we're excited. Newsmax is really behind this book project, and we are so, so grateful for that. So again, the offer coming from Newsmax, newsmax.com/Golden Age, you'll be able to claim a free copy of the book there with Newsmax's special offer. All right, well, how about that? All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. Talking primaries when we come back.
For nearly 3,000 years, Homer's The Odyssey has shaped Western imagination. It tells the story of Odysseus as he faces monsters, shipwrecks, false comforts, and impossible choices on his long journey home. As one of the foundational works of Western literature, Homer's epic is more than a mythology. It explores permanent questions about courage, duty, loyalty, family, leadership, temptation, and the search for home. In one of the epic's defining moments, Odysseus rejects the offer of immortality from the goddess Calypso, choosing instead the long and difficult journey home. His decision reveals one of the central themes of the Odyssey, that a life of duty, family, and home is greater than a life devoted to comfort or glory. Achilles chose glory. Odysseus chose home. That's why Hillsdale College has released its newest free online course, The Odyssey. Taught by Professor Benedict Whalen, the course reveals why Homer's masterpiece remains one of the greatest works of Western literature. Find this free course at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Read the classics. Study the West. The Odyssey from Hillsdale College. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Just so we're a little goofy today. Speaking of goofy, there's a crazy story on ToddStearns.com, and I want to draw your attention to our website. There is a big battle raging right now within the Denver City Council. A lot of the councils now, they read these land acknowledgments, where they read these statements before every city council meeting. Now, back in the day, when you went to the city council, you would stand and you would pledge allegiance to the flag, and then you would have a preacher offering a prayer. But when you go to many of these city council meetings, they burn the flag. They have some sort of a satanic priest delivering a curse, and then they read the land acknowledgement. The city of Denver, Colorado, hereby acknowledges that we stole this land from the Indian people, not the ones with the dots on their head, but the ones with feathers in their hair. Something like that. I don't know the exact verbiage, but that's pretty much what they do. And it's kind of like all the rage now. You know what I ever could figure out about these land acknowledgments is that if you're so concerned about stealing from the Indian people, the one with the feathers, not the dot, why don't you just give it all back? Why don't you just give it all back? We can start, I don't know, with New York City. What did we get, a couple of beads and trinkets? Is that what we gave the Indians? So I just, you know what, let's just give it all back. I don't know why this is such a big deal. And quite frankly, I find it to be, if I were one of the Indian people, the one with the feathers and not the dot, if I was one of those people, I would be especially, what would you call me, Big Chief Sitting Bull? Anyway, I would be more offended at that. You acknowledge that you stole something, and you're still not giving it back. But that's just me. And I have nothing against the Native Americans. I was a big fan of not only the Lone Ranger, but also Tonto. Thank you very much. I respected them equally as partners. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But it can get pretty lonely out there on the dusty trail. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, back to Denver. The city council, they want to add a new acknowledgement. And this one involves slavery. And you're like, wait, what? Yes, ToddStearns.com. I would encourage you to go and read the story, but I'll share the gist of it with you. The Denver City Council is proposing a statement, and they would read this alongside the existing land acknowledgement statement. The statement acknowledges the state's role in the slave trade and slavery. I want you to take a listen. These are the city council peoples. One of them, council gal Chantel Lewis. Black power. Take a listen.
Think about like my family's history. And my dad was a migrant worker and grew up working in the fields. And so I see this and I also think of an experience of Colorado and of what like my family has experienced. And I'm asking, was there consideration of expanding or broadening to be able to reflect that? No, I think we thought about it in the same way that we did the land acknowledgement, in terms of like foundational, like the foundational experience within this country. And so the labor being specific to those that were taken from Africa into the onto this continent, and that land, that labor being forced.
Do you know of another city that names a perpetrator group? So like the phrase at the hands of white Americans, I know that there are a bunch of labor acknowledgments that talk about systems like white settler colonialism, but it doesn't talk about groups. Historically, you know, the family of labor acknowledgments tend to talk more about systems instead of groups.
Yeah, so again, the language came from examples from all across the country that we had kind of put together. I would imagine that is probably uncomfortable, but in the conversations that we had had, no one had pulled that out specifically to say, hey, can we look at this language and do something differently?
You know, a lot of people say, Todd, where did they go wrong here? And I'm going to read the statement in just a moment, but you need to understand a lot of the wokeness there started in the early 2000s. As a matter of fact, Colorado was a pretty darn red state for generations. They were electing Republicans. They had a Republican governor. But something happened in the early 2000s that played a significant role in where we are today in Colorado as they contemplate the white colonialism issue. It turns out they also legalized marijuana, ladies and gentlemen, in the early 2000s. And so after they did that, I believe it was in 2005, after they legalized marijuana in, for example, Denver in 2005, they never elected another Republican to the governorship ever. That's where they are. So let's I want to take a look here because, again, they're clearly very aggrieved people there in Denver. And I have a few observations on the concerns and this acknowledgement. But here is, in fact, what they want to read at the start of every city council meeting. We acknowledge that our country's economy, infrastructure, and resulting generational wealth would not exist as they do today without the stolen and forced labor of enslaved Americans and their descendants, who suffered the horror of the transatlantic trafficking, chattel slavery, and later on dehumanization through segregation and Jim Crow laws. We acknowledge and remember those who did not survive the Middle Passage, as well as those who were beaten and lynched at the hands of white Americans. We recognize the terror inflicted by the Ku Klux Klan, who historically counted among their members numerous government officials in Denver and others in positions of power. We stand with those who are still suffering while fighting for their freedom. We acknowledge how these dehumanizing practices have social, legal, and economic legacies that continue to reverberate through the generations, and in doing so, and in so acknowledging, commit to truth, accountability, and repair. I think we all need to smoke a peace pipe together, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe then it'll all make sense. A little bit of the devil's lettuce, if you will. So, look, we did a little bit of research, and we made some startling discoveries, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to slavery in Colorado. It turns out there were never any slaves in Colorado. None. None, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because Colorado was a free state. But beyond that, Colorado was not even created as a state until decades after the Civil War. The Emancipation Proclamation, they were already celebrating Juneteenth by the time Colorado became an official state of the Union. Never was a problem. They were never admitted to the Union as a slave state. So what the heck is going on here? And by the way, just think about this. You go to a city council meeting, you're a good 45 minutes in before they even get to the first order of business. They're acknowledging this, apologizing for that, burning old glory. It goes on and on and on and on. That's where we are in the country right now, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, all of this, all of what you just heard, is a product of the education system in Colorado, which is a product of the education system nationwide, where they're teaching our kids this nonsense. It's just unbelievable. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, when you take a look at what's the, you know, what's going on with these acknowledgments, you know, the idea that, the lynchings. What was it? We had a guy in Tennessee, Justin Pearson, Jasmine Crockett with a fro, a power fro. So that guy was out there talking about all, you know, people getting lynched. The Republicans be lynching people. Well, yeah, that's a pretty serious charge. And let me just say, if that were to be the case, I would be the first Republican standing up and condemning such nonsense. But we went back and we looked, and again, I mean, this is, the guy was talking about it being some sort of an epidemic of lynchings in Tennessee at the hands of Republicans, and specifically Republican lawmakers. So I got our investigative team on this right away, because I don't be wanting anybody to be lynched. I don't. That's horrible. And so we were ready to go to the mat. Dylan, you can testify to this. Well, we were ready to make citizens arrest of any Republican lawmaker in Tennessee who was out there lynching black people, or anybody else for that matter. We were ready. But it turns out that the last time anybody was lynched in Tennessee was like 1917. So, look. That was a really horrible thing back in 1917. That was a horrible thing. But it's not like that's an epidemic. It's something that happened in 1917, or whenever it happened, somewhere way back then. All that to say, nobody in modern-day Memphis, Tennessee, be getting lynched, or in anywhere else in Tennessee, for that matter. But the problem with critical race theory and all of these city councils, these woke city councils that are going out there, they do these statements because they want to delegitimize everything about America. That's what this is really all about. It's a two-pronged thing. First of all, the communists know that if they want to stick it to America, the best way to destroy America is not with a nuclear bomb. It's to create a race war. They have been very effective over the years. That's why Black Lives Matter is a communist organization. Part of their mission was to break down the nuclear family, as George W. Bush would say. And then on the other side, you've got these people that want you to believe that you're not allowed, you should not be here. That Todd Starnes, because his people came from England, yes, I'm English, and Germany. Okay, yeah, I'm German too. You want to make something of it? Because I came from somewhere else, my people, then therefore I don't deserve to live here anymore. I should go back to where I came from. Now, if these people really wanted to address and acknowledge slavery, they would acknowledge all of the black tribal leaders in Africa that orchestrated the slave trade to the States and to the British Empire. I mean, if you really want to have that conversation, but somehow when you tell the story, when you tell the history of slavery, they always leave out that part. Blacks selling blacks into slavery. They don't want to talk about blacks, free blacks in America, owning slaves themselves in America. And that's because that part of the history of our country, it doesn't fit their narrative. And this is why I'm a huge proponent of teaching all of our history, the good and the bad, the ugly, all of it. It's important, but they're not doing that. Because if they did, then there would be no argument made for this idea that a minority born in the year 2000 is somehow more oppressed than somebody that was born into slavery. They literally believe that, by the way. They truly do. And that's what critical race theory has done to the nation. It's an abomination. I think it's one of the most egregious evil sins in our country, perpetuating all of this. Because why else would you not teach that in the aftermath of the Civil War, a large swath of the black population became homeowners, became landowners, and successful professors and teachers and doctors and businessmen. The first black millionaires came from the southern states in the 1920s. Republican Party and parts of the South created by Republicans for the right to vote. While the Democrats were running around in bedsheets burning crosses on the front yards of black homes. Democrats never apologized for that, by the way. Maybe it's time for the Democrats on that Denver City Council to maybe acknowledge the role the Democrat Party played in terrorism in this country directed at blacks. I mean, if you want to have that conversation. All right, we got to take a break here. Unbelievable. Got to read the story. We've got the whole statement, the acknowledgement statement. They're on our website, toddstearns.com, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
All right, coming up in the next hour, just insane, insane story out of Michigan where it looks like Mike Rogers, the Republican, may pick up the Senate seat. That would be a huge gain for Republicans there as the Democrats wage war over these Democrat socialists. Just a bizarre story. Also, you folks in Oklahoma, we've got a big problem in Oklahoma, and I'm just curious why you guys are dealing with these woke Republican candidates. This is a guy named Gentner Drummond. He is the Republican candidate for governor. And I want you to listen to what he says about mass immigration enforcement, mass deportations. Cut 12, please.
Folks, we have a lot of bad actors in Oklahoma. We do not have the resources to hang out at preschool, daycare centers and shopping malls, harassing people that don't look like you're from Europe. We have to take the fight to the bad actors. That's the Chinese syndicated crime organizations and the Mexican cartels.
What kind of garbage is that? This Drummond guy in Oklahoma, did you hear what he said? We can't be bothered by picking up these illegals at the daycare centers that don't look like they're from Europe. What? So the guy's basically saying that the president's deportation policy is racist. It's not racist. We're sending people, I don't care who they are, back to wherever they came from. Doesn't matter their skin color. This is insane. But this is what Trump has been dealing with when it comes to these establishment Republicans who do not want the illegals booted. Now, let me explain this, and it's very simple to understand. Very simple. The Democrats want these illegals here because we know that they are voting. We've learned that in New Jersey. That is now very well documented. And if they're doing it in New Jersey, they're doing it all over America. Democrats are using the illegals for their illegal votes. I mean, that's why the Democrats are backing the illegals. Republicans are backing the illegals. And when I say Republicans, I mean the establishment, big business, Chamber of Commerce. They're backing the illegals because they want that cheap labor. That's what it's all about. Republicans, they want the cheap labor. Democrats, they want the vote so they can stay in power. And meanwhile, everybody else gets hosed in the process, which is why there has been such pushback from both political parties when it comes to President Trump's agenda. I say, deport everybody. Let them come here the legal way. It's very simple. That's how I see it. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today, this hour of the program. Wow, we have a lot going on. Josh Jones is going to be here in just a few moments, our chief political strategist, breaking down some of the big races today. A lot of primaries, Washington State, Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, Virginia, and I know there's another one I left out. But anyway, we're going to be focusing on Virginia and Michigan, where the socialists are gaining ground. That's coming up just a little bit later on. We've also been following this crazy culture war chaos involving the WNBA, and I want to play some audio. This is from an ESPN broadcast over the weekend where they encouraged viewers to embrace transgenderism. Cut number five, please.
When we see Cheryl Reed wearing a shirt today in support of trans kids belong on the shirt. This is in the aftermath of Sophie Cunningham's recent comments. We actually saw Cheryl and Sophie speaking at center court pregame. And yesterday, Cheryl Reed spent a lot of time talking at length with the media about this topic.
I would encourage anyone to go and listen to Cheryl Reed's comments. Incredibly thoughtful, easy to find online, and just encourage anyone to go and listen.
You know, I'm not even sure that the WNBA is salvageable at this point. I want to bring into the conversation a great lady and a great American patriot, Peyton McNabb, Independent Women Ambassador. Peyton, good to have you with us. And I do wonder, is there any way to salvage the WNBA and this woke direction they've decided to embrace?
Honestly, Todd, I think that's the question of the day. I think they continue to prove every day just how unserious this league really is. They continue to attack women, but then on the other hand, they are always constantly complaining how they don't get as much as the men. They don't have the same opportunities or coverage and you name it. But then on the next conversation, they're encouraging, inviting men to infiltrate our sport. What does the W and the WNBA stand for? Why did we even have the WNBA to begin with? It makes no sense. And if they don't seem like they're going to come to terms with it anytime soon, and that's just going to hurt them a lot more.
Well, not only that, but just, you know, the attitude and the behavior, shutting down any questions at press conferences, those two teenage girls who were really bullied by one of the co-owners of one of the teams over the weekend. It's as if they are trying to force all of you ladies who believe that women's sports should be for women. They want to shove you guys into a closet.
Exactly. And I think we've gotten to a point where we're not taking that anymore. I mean, no one is believing this. It's complete nonsense. I don't even believe that they actually think that. And that's the crazy part of it. And they will not admit it. And it's just insane to me. And it's not even what hurts me the most isn't even the players choosing silence, because I can understand on one hand how keeping politics out of the conversation, out of sports, is understandable. Sophie Cunningham didn't ask for this. She was asked a question and she answered it honestly and with common sense. And she's being attacked for it because it's not the agenda that they want to push. It's not a distraction. It's just not what they want her to say. Because if Cheryl Reeves can wear a political shirt on the floor during a game and get as much attention as she did that for the attention, because she knew people would be watching that game because they're playing the Indiana Fever. That's the only time anyone watches. So for her to push that and then ESPN be so excited to promote it and even encourage viewers to go look at her comments, I mean, it just shows that some distractions are more acceptable than others.
Well, that and I think there's a lot of people are puzzled by Caitlin Clark and her lack of, basically her silence on the issue. And I mean, on one side, I get it. She's an athlete. She wants to play ball. They're already trying to destroy her and physically remove her from the league. So she's dealing with all of that. Maybe she doesn't want this, you know, to jump into this other issue and add to her issues on the court.
Yeah, and I think you just explained it very, like, exactly how I feel about it. It's been kind of hard to understand or to have an opinion on her silence, kind of, because, you know, I'm very passionate about it, and I think it would mean so much, especially to her teammate standing by her side, but also all the girls in the stands that are wearing number 22, excited to see their favorite player. Of course, it would mean so much to them, but I also completely agree with what you said. She's constantly getting beat up every single night just for being good, and it's like a lot of pressure on these women, and they try to make an example out of you, which is what they're doing to Sophie, but thankfully she's not interested in playing that game. But back to Caitlin, I mean, I feel the same way, and it's kind of hard, but at the end of the day, you know, she has to understand she's a part of this conversation, whether she likes it or not. And that's why it's so important to be Sophie Cunningham and to say what's true and to stand up for the next generation of girls.
You see, I'm with you 1,000% on that one, Peyton. And again, you cannot be a pacifist on this issue. Everybody's got to take a stand. And I hope for young ladies like, you know, Caitlin Clark, they need to know that there are so many people in this country that will have their back, have her back, and are willing to stand alongside of her. And I think a lot of times, you know, these athletes, they see what's happening and they wonder, okay, is that, you know, will that support be there?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why it's so important. I think it will be. I mean, every girl that spoke out about this, of course, you get the backlash and the threats and just like an insane amount of people trying to attack you for saying something so simple, which is insane. But I think I and a lot of other girls can agree that the amount of support that you get is overwhelmingly a lot more. And I think just the people that go after you, they are the smaller percentage, but they are the loudest, unfortunately.
Peyton, I want to play some audio. This is a guy named Seth Moulton. He's a Democrat congressman from Massachusetts, and he's running to be in the Senate. And he was asked about his position, because he actually originally took the side of no men in women's sports, but now he's had a change of heart. Let's take a listen to Cut 11, please.
Congressman Moulton, in your last debate, you said when you were asked about student athletes who are transgender, to anyone out there listening tonight, anyone in the LGBTQ community or anyone else, I stand with you because I've always stood with you. But after the last presidential election, you said, I have two little girls, I don't want them getting run over on a playing field by a male or formerly male athlete. Congressman Moulton, which is it?
To the trans community, feeling the weight and the pain of the Trump administration policies, I deeply recognize your trauma. And I'm sorry if my comments hurt you.
So, Peyton, he's basically, I guess, now saying he would not mind that if his daughters got ran over by, you know, a transgender athlete. This is what's your reaction to the big change of heart here?
Todd, that's a perfect example of not only just a weak man, but a weak father. And I'm very, very thankful that I can say for a fact my dad would never backtrack on his statement of protecting me and wanting the best for his daughters. That's really, really sad. And it just shows that these people on the left that are so radical about this issue, they know deep down that it's wrong, but they are willing to get bullied into silence and bullied into pushing the opposite. And that's just, it's sad because it's the girls, it's his daughters that are ultimately paying the price. And he's too weak to realize that.
You know, I'm glad you have that. You have that viewpoint, because the number one thing that's bothered me for all of these years are many of the moms and dads who sat there in those stands and said absolutely nothing. They did nothing. Those school administrators, the other coaches, that really bothers me. And I think a lot of people, not just the politicians, but a lot of parents around this country, they bear responsibility as well. Again, there can be no pacifist on this issue.
Absolutely. And I think that just proves it once again. You know, in my situation specifically, I came from a really small area. We had never seen this before. No one knew what to do. It was such an uncomfortable situation. And still to this day, every single adult that was around me regrets so much not saying something and stopping it from happening, because they recognize it was because of that, it allowed it to happen to me and put all the girls that were on that court that day at risk and in danger. And that's just something that, you know, I've they've always been able to push me to say, because you should want to stop that before it happens. You shouldn't let another girl get injured before saying something, and these adults need to realize that.
And Peyton, and again, we have Peyton McNabb joining us. I want you to share with our listeners just briefly your story, because this impacted you as a female athlete back in 2022 in high school.
Right. It was my senior year of high school. I had the hopes of playing collegiate softball one day, and going into my last year, I'd been training my whole life for this season, and it stopped before it even started. I played against a boy who thought he was a girl, and he hit it so severely, it hit me right in the face, knocking me unconscious for about 30 seconds, leaving me with a list of injuries that a few years later, I'm still recovering from some. And it's just been a tough battle, because it all could have been completely avoided. Men's volleyball nets are 7 inches higher than women's, and that obviously didn't come from nowhere. And I got to experience why that is that day. And, you know, the girls on the court were shaking, so afraid to continue to play him because they didn't take him out of the game. He was the only reason they were winning games. So it was just sad to see, and it was completely unfair and unjust, and now I have to live with this forever, because the adults in the room cared about this guy's mental illness and his false reality more than my safety and my teammate's safety, and, you know, that will never happen to my daughter, and I'm going to continue to fight to make sure of that.
Well, good for you. And Peyton, when I first saw your story, my eyebrows raised a little bit, because in my early days as a journalist, I was a sports reporter, and believe it or not, I have covered sporting events in Hiawassee Dam, North Carolina, and Murphy, so I know that part of the country very well.
Oh, wow. I'm, like, actually so surprised by that. Usually no one even knows where it is.
No, exactly. But we always admired that great basketball facility they had at Hiawassee Dam, so they took great pride in that.
Oh, yeah, nothing's changed at all.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Peyton, thank you again for being a great voice to so many young women and girls out there. And we're going to see if we can't get this situation fixed with the WNBA. Peyton McNabb on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. This is a brave woman, ladies and gentlemen. She explained a little bit of the injury she suffered when that man on the volleyball court slammed that ball into her face. Two black eyes. She suffered a concussion, a brain bleed, and permanent whiplash. She also dealt with and has been dealing with partial paralysis as well as vision problems. So this is what we're talking about. This is not some sort of a, you know, fly-by-night culture war issue. This is an issue that is impacting young ladies across the country, and it's a very dangerous situation as well. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And tonight, 6:30 in Germantown, Tennessee, we're having our big book launch celebration. Dylan, I understand you're wearing pants for this and everything. This is exciting news.
Yeah, I was told I had to, so I will be wearing pants.
So, folks, if you show up, Dylan, you're going to be there, and the lovely Mrs. Producer may or may not be there. Is she going to be there? I'm putting you on the
spot.
I'll
have to check.
All right.
So she's in school right now and, you know, studying and all that.
Yeah, she's becoming a doctor or something. Like
nurse practitioner.
Okay, close enough.
Pretty close.
You get to poke somebody. So
she can.
It was funny. I was getting, I have to go weekly now with the heart situation. I got to go weekly to get, get poked and prodded. And we had a new nurse. And so I'm a lot of fun. So, you know, a lot of these people, no offense, old people, but you guys are not very nice. You know, when you hit a certain age, you know, there are a lot of cranky folks. So when I show up, they're like, Todd's here. So we can have like a little party because, I'm one of these guys. You do what you got to do, and we'll just have a good time. So while they're poking and prodding.
You're probably their favorite patient.
I would like to think I am, actually, because I don't ever complain about anything.
That's good.
There's no point.
No.
You know?
You're stuck there for as long as they need you.
Yeah, well, yesterday I was stuck twice. They had a hard time finding the vein.
Well, but, my wife likes to practice on me, and that's my least favorite thing.
Oh, geez, Lou.
Yes.
That's true. Not good.
Yeah. I hate needles.
The nurse was like, so wait a second, you write books? And I said, yeah, I do. What's the name of the book? She's writing down the name of the book, you know, as I'm getting my one arm is like being worked on and the other, you know, I'm trying to explain what the name of the book is.
Well, we might see your nurse at the book launch.
I invited her to the party tonight, which Miss Helen's going to be there. Ian, the intern, even Parker's coming. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The advertising goddess, Miss Cheryl. So the whole crew is going to be there. And we want you to show up as well. If you're in the Memphis area, come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some great beverages. A lot of lawmakers and politicians are going to be their candidates. It's going to be just a blast. 6:30 tonight at JoJo's Espresso. If you're in the neighborhood, those of you listening in Iowa, KXEL, no, don't come down for the, yeah, we'll come to you guys in Waterloo. We'll do an event in Waterloo. Same for you folks in Salem, Oregon. That's a bit of a haul. All right, let's go to the phones here. Steve, Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what's on your mind?
I was listening to your show today, Todd, and your deal with what Clay Travis is talking about doing a WNBA team. If I had the funds and I was able to buy a WNBA team, here's what I would do. I would scout, and I would try to put me together a WNBA team of ex-NCAA Division I playing trans women. And I would force the WNBA to either say trans women can't play, or I would force them all to go to trans women to be able to compete.
Oh, well, okay. I kind of like that. I'm with Travis on this, and I'm willing to put in some money, Steve. I think this is a winning combo platter.
Well, I would be too, but I also think what I'm talking about would call their hypocrisy.
Mm. Well, it could be. Yeah.
You can't tell me that I've did a little research. There's 5,600 men playing NCAA Division I basketball. And only 1-2% of them make it to the NBA. And the WNBA is paying six-figure and seven-figure salaries right now. You can't tell me there's not some men out there that wouldn't trans to make that kind of money and continue to play professional basketball? Mm. Well, where are they at? If the WNBA is so conclusive and so inclusive and so pro-trans, why is there not one trans player on the court out there right now?
It's a good question.
Because I bet you they're out there. There's a bunch of Leah Thomases out there that would like to be playing professional basketball.
There you go. I'm thinking franchising. And Steve, thank you for the call. Dylan, I'm thinking about franchising. The Denver Dongs. The Seattle Sphincters.
I think you need to come up with a few more.
I think I need to stop now. Yeah. 901-260-5926. A whole franchise, a whole league. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This segment of the program brought to you by our friends, well, at Newsmax. And be sure, if you've got a copy of the August edition of Newsmax magazine, a great two-page spread on my new book called The Golden Age. You know, it's true. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they are making the switch right now to Newsmax, watching great shows. Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. If you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It is free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. You're going to get access to all of President Trump's important events live, like the trip to California. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com. Well, I want to go to the phone lines. Our good buddy Joe from LJ, and Joe in the break, I was explaining to the team here about the greatest honor bestowed upon me. It came from you and the late, great Colonel Poole. My name is enshrined on the Pig Hill of Fame.
Yes, Todd, and you're and listen, you do a great job on Newsmax. I watch Fox a lot, but I also watch a lot of Newsmax, and you do a super job. And Todd, you are a super talk show host, and today I'm really fired up because the stock market reached another all-time high, and I think Trump is the best leader in history with the best stock market, the best economy. And Todd, you have a lot to do with the market going way up because you've been such a strong supporter of Trump. And I mean, it's just amazing to me. The stock market hit a new high yesterday and it's hit a new high today. So we're in investor heaven. I mean, we really are. And I think you're one of the reasons, Todd Starnes, that we are now in investor heaven. So I want to say thank you so much for helping put us in investor heaven.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I have to tell you, all that barbecue almost put me in actual heaven, so I'm going to have to cut back on the barbecue consumption. But, Joe, real quick, I want to go back to this Pig Hill of Fame. There are over 3,000 wooden pigs on this hillside that overlook the barbecue joint there. Do you know the history of that?
Yeah, of course, I was a close friend of Oscar, and he passed away, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
But yeah, a friend of his, you know, just gave him the idea of, say, why don't you put pigs on the hill, you know, to honor, let people, I think he said you have an honest face and $5 to get the your name on the Pig Hill of Fame. And it's amazing because, Todd, many people come to LJ, to Pooh's Barbecue, just to see, you know, the pigs on the hill and the place is doing great. They got a new owner, Marcelo, and he's like Oscar. He's a great promoter, and it's doing extremely well. But those pigs on the hill, there's no place in America that has pigs on the hill except Pooh's Barbecue, and the great Todd Starnes has his own pig on the hill. So how about that?
How about that? Dylan, you didn't believe me. In all seriousness, Joe from LJ. Dylan, I told you I had a pig on the Pig Hill of Hill of Fame.
You did tell me that, and I didn't believe you, but now I do, and I'm sorry.
It's one of my great honors. Forget about winning a New York Times bestseller. I wanted my name on that Pig Hill of Fame, and the barbecue is pretty darn good as well. Joe, always good hearing from you, my friend.
Todd, you're the greatest. Thank you so much.
All right. Joe from LJ. I'm getting a little misty just thinking about the ceremony.
It's a cool hill. I like it. I'm seeing pictures now of all the pigs and all the names.
I'm sorry. Did Joe just say that if you give him $5, he'll put anybody's name up there? Is that what he said?
Only $5.
I guess I was a cheap date.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Before we go to Josh Jones, let's go to Johnny in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on the WNBA. Hi, Johnny. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing pretty good, Johnny. What can I do for you?
I don't understand your fascination with the WNBA.
Well, actually, I don't watch the WNBA, but we do talk about it. We talk about the big culture issues of the day, and the WNBA has been in the headlines lately.
Well, have you checked out the women's professional baseball team with all the lesbians over there? Why are you not interested in them?
Well, actually, we did play a little something from that from their inaugural game. What was it over the weekend? This was the national anthem at the first women's pro basketball league. Maybe you heard of this. Was it Martha Reeves was singing "Cut Eight," please.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
Hey, Johnny, is that what you were talking about?
I'm talking about all them lesbians that play. I wonder why you don't say nothing about them, just like you do WNBA. Oh, I know. They're white. Yeah, I got you.
Martha,
anyway, you tell Travis to take that $10 million that he got and help out with that debunk reflection pool. That's why he can spend that $10 million at. And you, Mr. Historian, the reason why slaves sold slaves to the transatlantic slave market was because you white nationalists, you white colonists needed them. Now, that's just like you, Todd. If you didn't have diarrhea, you wouldn't need toilet paper. But that you got diarrhea, you need toilet paper. So They were in demand. That's why they stole it, Mr. Historian.
Well, there's a lot to wipe away here, Johnny. First of all, I have not partaken of the diseased diarrhea lettuce, so I'm doing good in that department. Second of all, the fact of the matter is that Colorado was a free state. There were no slaves in Colorado. Colorado was meant to be a free state that was actually created years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And the third thing, and probably the most concerning, is the fact that you didn't know that Martha Reeves of the Vandellas happens to be a black woman. So there you go. Johnny, good try, though. I don't know how we got sidetracked like that. Let's go to Josh Jones, our chief political strategist. Josh, fair warning, it's a weird show today. A weird show, my friend.
All good. Having to roll up the punches.
Yeah, are you a big WNBA fan, by the way?
I'm not, no.
Yeah, I'm just... It is what it is. What can I say? Josh, today it's sort of like, I don't know, a mini Super Bowl for you. A lot of primaries going on. A lot of people have been paying attention to what's happening in Virginia. You've got a lot of Republicans going in there. What should we be looking out for in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, Virginia, we have our primaries today. I think Michigan's taking the spotlight for the most part, but in Virginia, we have a couple of House seeds and also our Senate nomination up today in Virginia. So looks like all the candidates are on track to do well. We have good turnout across the state. So not too many headlines coming out of Virginia this evening, but we got a lot of eyes in the news coverage this evening. It's going to be on Michigan, where Democrats are about to nominate this far left progressive who's totally out of touch. But, you know, Michigan is one of those states that it went for Trump in 2024. And it's also considered a swing state, yet Democrats are about to nominate essentially a communist. He won't call himself that, but, I mean, in reality, that's what he is.
No, it's really fascinating to watch the Michigan race. You've got Abdul Al-Sayed, who actually believes that America is a racist nation. He pals around with some very, very weird people. And then you have the sitting congressman, who I swear, Josh, is the spitting image of Melissa McCarthy, that voice, that weird accent she has.
Yeah, you have, with Haley Stevens up there, who's the more moderate of the two. And look, I'm not saying I agree with her, but I mean, she's definitely the more centrist moderate of the two. But I mean, what's happening in Michigan is really a bellwether for across the state on the Democratic side of the aisle. It's like Michigan's meant to be one of those states that are more middle of the road. You have voters that go back and forth between each party based on the election cycle. And Democrats are about to nominate one of the most left-leaning progressives in the country. I mean, he's been campaigning with Bernie Sanders, AOC. He's been supported by Mondale. All the socialists, Democratic Socialists of America, are backing this guy. And he's about to be the Democrat nominee in Michigan, which is absolutely, if you would have told someone that 4 years ago, I don't think many people would have believed you, but here we are. And I think the takeaway for voters needs to be, and Republicans need to be saying this, is I know the truth that people have said in the past of, oh, the Democratic Party of your grandfather's death is gone. But that's really the case here. I mean, the Democratic Party is radically shifting to the left, to a socialist platform, and that's where you're going to get embodied tonight if he wins this thing.
I love her accent. I'm sure she's a nut job, but she's got a great accent. Hello, Michiganders. Michiganders, we love you. It's just crazy. And then there's this guy, Abdul Al-Sayed. Oh, here, cut 14, please.
Founded on the removal of a whole people. Founded on the idea that we could compromise on whether or not people, as a function of the color of their skin, could be enslaved by other people. Founded under the idea that all people are created equal, all men, but that only meant certain men and not women.
So again, you know, America's bad, America's evil, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is he could be the nominee. The good news is it appears that Mike Rogers, who's going to be on the Republican side, he's actually leading in some of the polls there. I mean, that would be huge for Michigan to elect a Republican senator.
Most definitely. And I think that's a sign, across the board as we're heading into November, is, look, the Democratic Party is running to the left and nominating these crazy progressives as their nominees. Mike Rogers is a solid middle of the road conservative, and he, as of right now, ahead in the polls against this guy who might be the nominee. So we'll have to wait and see how things shake out, especially once the Democrats officially have their nominee, because you never know, maybe there's a surprise waiting for us this evening in the results. But if I'm a Republican in Michigan, I'm feeling pretty good.
Josh Jones on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Josh, I'm curious about the Republicans here and the president. President is, by my estimations, did not have a very good weekend. You had the situation with Judge Jeanine, where now he's doubling down and saying that she got it wrong, that she should have prosecuted the guy for the vandalism. Now we understand the DOJ is saying that the other three people charged, those charges are not going to go anywhere, which I have to imagine is going to enrage the president even more. You've got the backtrack on the war in Iran, on again, off again, on again, off again. And now you have the Senate standing up to the president on some of his key agenda items. What is going on in Washington right now? What's the scuttlebutt?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. I think number one is we're getting close to the midterms. And like it or not, some of these swing states, the president's favorability numbers are underwater. So naturally, they're going to trickle down to the candidates running in those states, and they're going to try and distance themselves from the president. So I think that's kind of where you're seeing some of this gridlock come from in Congress, of trying to balance the president's favorability numbers with their chances of winning an election this November. I think that's number one. Number two, on the reflection board situation, look, I'm not an attorney. I'm not an investigator. I don't work at the DOJ, so I don't really have an insider's cue per se on what's happening there with Judge Jeanine. Look, I think the reality is that my advice to the White House and to the president would be I don't think many people care at this point. I think people are more concerned with the cost of living and the cost of gas and everything else. Heading into November, I don't think anybody's walking into the voting booth thinking about the reflecting poll. So my advice would be move on.
So you're telling me, hold on, I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Josh Jones is saying that the average Joe Blow Republican is not going into the ballot box and looking at all the options and saying, bless you, Judge Jeanine, I'm voting Democrat. You're saying that's not happening. That's just
right, exactly.
That makes sense to me.
And we need to resort back to Ronald Reagan's one of his golden rules is don't speak ill of other Republicans. Look, the president, is welcome to have his opinions, just like everybody else. But right now we need a president unified front. We're under 100 days into the election. We don't have time to be talking about these random things right now. It needs to be focused on the cost of living, the election in November, and that's all that matters as of right now.
Josh, some of these Democrats running, these people are insane. And literally, I mean, at least one of them is diagnosed. You've got this woman, her name is Hong, Francesca Hong, diagnosed bipolar Asian chick. She's been institutionalized, overdosed on lithium, wants to get rid of Thanksgiving and defund the police. Then you've got Tallarico, who boasted about playing with his Dr. Fauci doll, proclaims his love for trans kids and met his girlfriend at a gay bar. You got the guy who married his cousin and had two kids with her. Then you've got the Haitian woman who thinks the U.S. is a blanking disgrace and wants to abolish borders, law enforcement, and prisons. I'm not a betting man, but I got to tell you, I like our odds against these kinds of people.
Look, I'm right there with you. The Democratic Party primary voter has gone off the rails. I mean, that's just the reality of what's happening here. The party nominees for the Democrats, I mean, again, I know I'm biased, right? I'm a Republican that works in politics. I'm supposed to, drag these people and go after them. But, I mean, in all seriousness, we've never seen a Democratic Party like we're seeing this election cycle. They are nominating the craziest of the crazies, and we have to win this November. I mean, there's just no way around it.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. God help us all if we don't. Josh Jones, good hearing from you, sir. Tell you what. We're going to look into this Clay Travis. He's getting together money to buy a WNBA team that will be fully, I think the entire team will be made up of men who identify as women. We're going to get you a couple of shares in that, Josh. That's, it's easy money.
Let me know.
The Nashville Balls. That's what we're calling the Nashville Balls. That's what he's calling the
that's
team.
Hilarious.
All right. Josh Jones, always good having you on the program. Great guy right there, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? We forgot to tell Josh he couldn't make it down. He's on the campaign trail. Can't make it down for the book party tonight there, Dylan. What's up with that?
I know. It stinks.
And Dieter, too. The boss wouldn't give him time off or something. What's going on up at Capitol Hill?
Don't they know how important this event is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
For crying out loud, we'll campaign against the guy. Oh, gosh. We got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, back to the phones. Kentucky, Pastor John. Hey, Pastor, what's going on today?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. I know you're really busy, so I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and I'm going to hang up and listen for your answer with pen and paper in hand. But my wife's a Marine, so it's crayon and paper in hand.
I'm not commenting on that, but go ahead.
Thanks, Todd. I love your humor. Todd, you know, I listened to your guest. The question I have for you is we're going to lose this election. You know, they vote by your pocketbook, but it seems like I've tried to meet with my congressional representative. Forget about Rand Paul. He's a joke. He won't meet with any of his constituents. And here's the problem. I just seem like I don't read about a lot of these congressional representatives having town hall meetings. I know they're scared because they're going to have angry constituents. That's why you have security. But a lot of times it seems like they won't ask they won't answer questions of the electorate, and also the ignorance of the electorate. But the question is, isn't that also going to cause them to lose the election because they will not meet with their voters with hard questions? And when they call their offices, they don't listen. They write, they send you form letters, and that gets real frustrating for the voter. And I'll hang up and listen for your answer, Todd, and God bless you. We love you, brother.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Always good to hear from you. And, yeah, it is frustrating because most of them are not holding town hall meetings. What really gets me, and I'll talk about this on the other side of the break, is the lawmakers that refuse to debate. And that is a big, big stick in my craw, if you will. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd starts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Great to have you with us today. It is a very busy primary day across America. We've been paying a close attention to a couple of the big races, including what's happening in Michigan. I want to bring into the conversation a good friend of this show, former Ohio Congressman Bob McEwen, now heading up the Council on National Policy, CNP. Bob, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's always my honor. Thank you.
You know, Bob, I'm just amazed. You know, in the last hour, we went down the litany of this circus, this political freak show the Democrats have put together. These primary contenders, many of them are radical, far-left extremists. And you have to wonder if the Republicans are sitting back here and just laughing their heads off.
Well, also, there's the question, Americans feel so content. You know, the world has gotten so much better just in our lifetimes, Todd. We remember when every family had a car because we were the richest nation on earth. Every family had a television. Every family had a telephone. Now we look forward. Every person, there are more cars than there are licensed drivers. Everybody has their own phone. Everybody has their own TV set. The wealth that we now enjoy, when we were young, no home had air conditioning. Now you can't rent a house that doesn't have at least two bathrooms and air conditioning. And yet AOC said the other day that her generation has never experienced wealth, that they've only lived in a time of poverty. And yet in the very next sentence, they'll say that this is the richest nation on earth. Now, somehow or another, we think that when people say these silly things, that there's no way they can't see that America is the greatest place in the world to live, and yet they wish to do away with the checks and balances, create a Politburo that does away with the president and the courts, and change this nation into the hellhole that we see in other parts of the world.
I'm looking at numbers here. Thursday is the big Tennessee primary. That'll be election day for the Republicans as far as their primary for governor. And I think we're gonna see a lot of interesting moving parts here. A lot of folks think Marsha Blackburn, the odds-on favorite. Some of, you know, her own internal polling show that she's dropped some 20 points in the poll, but still is ahead of Congressman John Rose. And I'm wondering if voter apathy might be an issue for the Republicans as we move into the midterms. I was looking at some of the numbers in Tennessee, and quite frankly, Democrats in places like Nashville and Memphis severely outperform Republicans.
But it's a very, very serious concern. That is that if we think that America will automatically proceed and it, one team wins and another team loses, these people are dedicated to undoing America. You and I have never lived in a time when the 1930s anti-Semitism was ever experienced in America. And yet we see college campuses where a person cannot wear a yarmulke or they'll be attacked. The Attorney General of the state of Michigan announced an hour ago that she will not attend the Democrat convention in Michigan because she knows that as a Jewess, she will be attacked. Now, our country is at a precipice. The precipice is actually very, very good if we win these things. But if we lose them, these people are not just going to, this is just not a Kennedy versus Nixon ballot, a Humphrey versus Nixon ballot. These people want to fundamentally change America and to take away our property. The ballots in California take 5% of your wealth in one to just that's theft. That's what criminals do, and they will vote to do that to America.
You know, it's interesting that that you mentioned the Attorney General there refusing to attend the convention. And quite frankly, we understand she was concerned about being harassed. It is a, you know, again, a disturbing situation. James Carville, the iconic Democrat liberal, he's a liberal, not a leftist. But when he's out there saying, yeah, I'm looking at leaving the party because it's gotten too radical, I think that should be a wake up call for everybody.
And that's what the party is. I repeat, you and I didn't experience this throughout. America never had anti-Semitism. And yet we see this explosion in the Democrat Party, where you and I remember when those planes flew into the World Trade Center and they were shouting Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, as they took down those trucks. And yet at the Democrat celebration of the Muslim mayor of New York, the entire Democrat celebration, they were chanting Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And so this election is very important, and people need to not only show up and vote, but they need to take their neighbor and their cousin and their daughter, because if we don't, these folks that want to fundamentally change and destroy America, they are going to show up.
Bob McEwen joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Bob, I'm curious. I know you spent a lot of time in Washington and still do spend a lot of time in Washington. And there does seem to be quite a bit of tension within Republican circles. And I wanted to throw out my thought on that. And you need to tell me if I'm right or wrong here, if I need to change course or direction. It just seems to me that the Republicans have already started charting out the path they want the party to take after Donald Trump leaves office. And in some ways, I think the president could become lame duck, even if the Republicans maintain control of the House and the Senate. And I think that may be one of the reasons they're slow walking some of the president's agenda items. They want to be the deciders over what the future of the party looks like. Am I off base here at all?
No, you're 100% correct. And the Congress, you never look to a committee, Todd, for leadership. If you have a church committee that's going to paint the vestibule, if you have five people that get it done, you get 50 people to get done in 3 years. You get 500 people who never get done. And so Congress is a committee, and you never look to a committee for leadership. And they buckle against leadership. That's why they disliked Reagan. That's why they dislike Donald Trump. That's why they love Gerald Ford. That's why they love Joe Biden, because they buckle at leadership. And so you're right. They have to be, as Ronald Reagan said, they have to feel the heat before they see the light. And that's just that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it's interesting. The comparisons you made there, Ford coming from the House, Biden coming from the Senate, Reagan and Trump not coming from either.
Yes, exactly. Executive skills versus legislative skills, Todd, I believe they're mutually exclusive. If you can, as Newt says, if you can stand around and come out at 2:30 in the morning with a day and a half growth of beard and rolled up sleeves and announce a package that everybody knows that six isn't going to last 6 weeks, if you get a thrill out of that, then you can be a legislator. But if you're an executive, and I was not with Reagan all that much, but on more than one occasion, I was with Ronald Reagan when he looked around, he said, do I have to be here for this? That is, he made a decision, and now the departments are arguing about how they're going to implement it. And as an executive, he said, do I have to be here for this? That is, they don't fit into that. And the legislature and the executive are two different things. That's why the left wants to do away with the executive. And I'm not exaggerating. They literally, these folks that are running in the Democrat Party currently, they want to do away with the election of the president.
It's true. And also get rid of the U.S. Senate as well. It's just really remarkable. And they're, like you said, they're not making, you know, they're not being secret about this. They're being very open and vocal as they're out on the campaign trail. Bob, always appreciate your great insight. I was kind of hoping I was not going to be 100% right there, but I'll take it when I can get it. So thank you for that.
I think you are. Great job.
All right. Bob McEwen, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Wow. I hate thinking like that, but I've been around long enough to see how the Republicans operate, and they really do want control. They want their party back, and they see this as the opportunity, and it is going to be a pretty ferocious battle, which is one of the reasons why MTG and Thomas Massey and Tucker Carlson are holding their little private confabs, because they want to create some sort of a political party as well. Here's the reality in the House, though. You're looking at, let's just say you wanted to start we wanted to start a political party. All right, and we'll call it, what do we want to call it? We got to come up with a clever name for the party. Not the Bull Moose Party, but the Cracker Barrel Party or something. Anyway, all you need are about 5 to 10 people in your party to become a power player, because the Republicans and Democrats are just a few votes shy, and depending on whatever sex scandal breaks next, you could have an even tighter margin between the two parties. So you don't need that many people in your independent party to actually make a difference and begin to influence things. So maybe that's the way, maybe that's the path forward. And it doesn't happen in one fell swoop, but over a series of election cycles, when you have more and more independents, or you create your own party and you get your people elected, it could get interesting. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Frank in Winchester, Virginia, WINC, our great affiliate there. Frank, what's on your mind?
Okay, there's a couple of things. There seems to be a blackout on the election here in the Winchester area. I can't understand it unless somebody wants to keep it not a secret ballot, but a secretive ballot. I got nothing. No campaign information, nothing from my Republican Party and emails. And you go to nobody outside the polling place has any literature. There's nothing.
Frank, did you go and vote today, Frank?
Yes, I did, but it wasn't a very well it was tic-tac-toe, and I don't like to do that, but I like to vote in every election. But I didn't even know they had an election here today. I thought it might be in another, you know, some other counties that are getting all the publicity.
Well, as far as I know, you actually have a statewide primary, so this is a pretty important election, and a lot of Republicans, you know, on the line, at least trying to get them back in the state house. So you're telling me, basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, Frank, your local Republicans not exactly doing a good job of getting out the vote and telling people about the election.
They're not. I don't have a smartphone. I get the news from a station we have in Hagerstown, but they're not even concerned about the election. They're not concerned about the Republican candidates. You know, it's mainly what's going on in that seems to affect Don Beyer or some of these personalities in the more populated part of the state, or I guess more populated. Our population here is growing. So I don't know. Usually you get something in the mail at least. And I was surprised that I had to go and, you know, do the regular voting because I always vote a little bit before. I mean, I have the right ID and everything, but I've never had this experience where you get nothing in the mail, no literature outside the polling place. You know, what's going on? I mean, I just don't don't understand this. And people say, well, get it on your phone. Well, I don't have a smartphone, and I haven't received any emails that, you know, or anything on TV that seems to clarify the situation.
Frank, let me explain what I think is going on here, because I can relate to this within some context, because I'm hearing this is a regular complaint I'm getting from a lot of local Republican parties, is that they're really not doing a lot, or maybe they're not doing enough to get out the vote. There are certain things that the party is responsible for and some things that the candidates are responsible for. Typically, a local Republican Party will send out some sort of a ballot, a sample ballot saying, these are the candidates that we are backing, these are the candidates we're supporting, and you bring that with you to the poll and you vote accordingly. If your local party's not doing that, that is a missed opportunity. We're certainly seeing that in, look, here in the Memphis area, a lot of folks are concerned. Our Republican vote was really, really low. Now, who's to blame for that? I'm a pretty simple-minded guy when it comes to stuff like that. The people responsible are the people who did not get out and vote. I mean, the leadership of the local Republican Party can't come to your house and kidnap you and force you to vote. That's on you. And if you're, a lazy good-for-nothing and you don't care about your country, you don't care about your city or your county, that's on you. Up yours. Oh, wait a second. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, sorry. Frank, thank you for the call. And I feel bad for Frank because Frank's a good guy. Frank is out there and he's wanting to know where are all the mailers? A lot of those mailers, that comes from your candidate. So you may have cheap candidates. They don't want to spend a lot of money. I get that. But also, the Republican Party is responsible for crafting a message. And I will say this, and I know that the folks in Memphis are bracing themselves for, the Republicans are bracing themselves for what could be a difficult day. It doesn't have to be, but for whatever reason, the suburban voters don't want to get off their blessed assurances and go and vote. They love to complain, the suburbs, but they don't like to get out and vote. It bothers me a lot because most of what is broken can be fixed by simply good people, decent people getting out and voting on election day. But here's what I think should have happened in Memphis. And this is, for those of you who haven't had your elections yet, I want you to steal this idea. At least in Memphis, there are three big issues on the ballot. Number one is crime. Number two are the lousy schools. And number three, the economic decline. I would have gotten every single candidate together who's running, every person who wins nomination. I don't know if that's 14 or 15 people, from your mayor down to your dog catcher. Every single person runs on the same slate. You run as a unified team with a unified message that if you elect us, we're gonna fix crime. We're going to fix those lousy, crappy schools. We're going to do something about the economy. and you pound that message home, every single person. And a lot of candidates are like, well, you know, that's not my thing. You know, I just want to, you know what? Shut up. Just shut up. And I hate to break it to you Republicans, but you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But if you stand together, you got a fighting chance. And it just bothers me because you've got, look, we've got three people running for governor in Tennessee, and all the supporters of all three of them are about to drive me slap crazy. You say something nice about Blackburn, you've got John Rose's people, oh, you're just a rhino, you're an establishment. Say something nice about John Rose and the Monty Fritz people are like, you're a Democrat communist, and I'm going to spam your social media pages. And like, oh, for the love of the Lord Almighty, just stop. So at the end of the day, I know it's politics, and I know you're going to be talking about your opponent's mama. I get that. I get that. But when the primary is over, get everybody together on the same page and unify and beat the Democrats. That's who the bad guy is, the Democrats. So you folks in Memphis, knock it off and go vote on Election Day. Fix your problem. Take care of your business. That's all I'm saying. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you guys with us. And again, now is the day to pre-order a copy of my brand-new book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, available at your favorite bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, wherever you get your books. Want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It is Tuesday, and it is always a pleasant day when Mary Walter drops by. Mary, hope you're doing well.
Thank you. What a lovely introduction, my friend. Thank you so much for that.
And Mary, I know you're so excited to hear this news, but Dylan is back with us after this luxurious vacation to the Gulf of America, where apparently they were boating with dolphins.
Well, I didn't hear that, but I would like it noted that Helen immediately threw me under the bus as soon as I connected and said hello to Dylan. So.
Oh, that's right, because you were not very happy that Dylan was actually allowed to take a vacation.
Oh, no, it's not that I wasn't happy. I was just questioning your vacation policies, that's all.
Yeah, I'm questioning my vacation policies. Wait. I think I give. How many days do I give you people, Dylan?
Can I have input on this? I don't take vacations. Well, I do. But this one was like a week long, so I understand being mad about it. I did have a good time, though, so that's what matters to me.
Well, I do not begrudge you your time. I was just giving you a hard time, and I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad it was good. So.
And the dolphins were real, and some people were questioning whether they were real or not. There's a video, and they do jump, and they do the thing, the dolphin thing.
Were these captive dolphins, or you were just like out on a boat and there were dolphins, so you jumped in the water and swam with them? What went down here?
Apparently, dolphins like to follow boats when they leave, like, shore. Sure. I don't know what it's called, but they follow the stream, the little, the water, and they like to jump above it. And, you know,
the wake?
Yeah, the wake. That's what it is. They follow the wake.
You're a real boater there, Dylan, aren't you? Yeah.
I'm certified.
Dylan's got a dinghy. That's about it, so.
Yep.
But he doesn't know what a wake is. Please tell me he's not captaining on the open seas anywhere.
Mary, we've been having a lot of fun with this Clay Travis story. Clay Travis offering a $10 million bet for the WNBA, a WNBA team to take on a boys basketball team. Also, he wants to purchase a WNBA team and field a team made up completely of transgender athletes. The working title of the team, the Nashville Balls. What say you?
Well, this is the first I'm hearing about that. Is that true? Is that real?
No, this is real. Yeah, the Nashville Balls.
hilarious. I would buy season tickets. I swear to you, I would buy season tickets. I absolutely love this. And did you see the Babylon Bee had a story that coaches in the NBA meet to discuss what the WNBA meet means?
I love it. No, I had not seen that story.
They're just be clowning themselves at this point, and I love that Clay Travis is just taking it to the nth degree. No team is going to take him up on. I think he was the winners of the. I think it was the Las Vegas Aces were the ones, the team that he offered, because they won the tournament last year, so they're like the reigning champs. So he offered them. They are not going to respond to this offer. You know that, because they know darn well that if they lose to a high school boys high school team of his choosing, that's the end of the WNBA. However, the $10 million is almost a third of what that team, the Aces, made last year. They made about $33 million. So if he's going to give them $10 million, he's significantly increasing their revenue.
Well, not only that, and I want to go back. This is the actual tweet from Clay. Introducing the most inclusive team in WNBA history, the Nashville Balls, a 100% trans organization. Men finally breaking the glass ceiling in women's sports. And Mary, the logo features two basketballs that are sort of stuck in a net that looks sort of like an, oh my.
Banana hammock.
Yeah. Never mind. Can't go there. But anyway, yeah. It's a very clever logo.
Yes. Will we finally see Brittany Griner change teams?
Wow. But, you know, again, the sheer hypocrisy of it all, and the WNBA coaches are now, they're on the record, they're perfectly fine with men playing in their league, in their organization.
Yeah, oh, I would love to see him do it. He is calling their bluff. They're all playing a part, and they know they're playing a part, and they are playing to a very, 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 very minute audience, a very small audience, what, 1% of the population, maybe less? The rest of them are just virtue signaling. They have no idea what the heck their votes are signaling for. So let's show them. I love this. I adore this. They could put it on pay-per-view and I would watch it.
Meanwhile, Dylan, Ian, the intern, sent us this news item from, there's a new organization. This is a real thing. We've been able to verify this is real, Dylan.
This is real. Yeah, it's happening.
Mary, it's called the World Trans Fight League, worldtransfightleague.com. The first professional fighting organization exclusively for transgender competitors.
See, I like this. This is what we've been saying all along. You can have a men's team, a woman's team, and then teams for trans, right? This way, and they actually, what I love about this is you have to provide biological proof of your hormone levels before you can get in. So they're not allowing like real men fight with the women. Do you know what I mean? Like you have to prove it,
yeah.
Which is more than any other team out there is requiring. So they have stricter rules for the trans league, but this is the solution to the problem, isn't it? If this is who you are and this is what you want to do, God bless you. Now there's a league for it. So I think it's fantastic. And again, I would probably pay to watch this a little bit. I'm not big into the fighting stuff. A little cringy to me. I don't have the stomach for it. But I would probably want to just take a gander at it just to see what it's like. Yeah, I love it.
No hitting below the belt, though. So it's for whatever. I'm not sure.
Depends
what that means.
On which. Well, but I'm bumped. But that would be in the women's league, right?
Oh, well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Mary Walter joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Mary, another story we've been following. This is fascinating. Michelle Obama, you know, she's a podcaster now. And
I could make a joke right here, right now, but I won't do it.
Oh, boy. Thank you for not. So Michelle Obama.
Sorry.
And Justice Jackson, Ketanji Brown Jackson. They were on a podcast together and they're talking about why we need segregation again on college campuses. Take a listen to Cut 10, please.
It's like you don't do kids of color service by plucking them out and making them one of a few.
Yes.
And then scattering them about the campus.
I think that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And it describes more of my high school experience, even though mm-hmm. I was popular.
Yeah.
Than it did my college experience, mm-hmm. which I loved.
Yeah.
I loved because at the time that I went to Harvard, which we're contemporaries in terms of the timing of it, there was a sizable Black community on campus. And it was like I found my people in a sense, you know, the people who had similar life experiences and backgrounds that I had.
Yeah, Mary.
Insufferable.
You know, it's interesting. Justice Jackson is like a theater kid. And she
is.
She really is. It comes across in everything she does.
Well, everything she does is performative. Oh my gosh. First of all, and I was popular, I'm like, oh Lord, like anybody cares that you were popular in college. No one cares if you're popular in high school. No one cares. And I went to Harvard. Like no one cares. You went to Harvard. You got on the Supreme Court through DEI. So just take the W and just go on. The two of them are insufferable. Now, so are they also saying maybe we should have like separate, you know, dining rooms for Black students, right? We should cordon them off so they could be with their peeps, right? And then everybody else, just the rabble goes over here, but we keep them over there, right? And you know what, this slowly, you know, maybe we could have separate lunch counters too for them.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, it's what is old is new again. And, you know, going back to, and I think I know a little bit about this. I was in school at the tail end of the desegregation. But and there's an argument that could be made that doing segregation the way they did it, you know, intentionally busing kids halfway across town, and they did the white kids and the Black kids, I think it destabilized everybody. It destabilized entire communities and cities. And there was something to be said for those community schools back in the day. You know, the issue was making sure that the schools all had the same sort of resources made available. They didn't want to address that. Instead, they were shipping kids all over the place. Some of my classmates, I remember this so well, some of my classmates had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning just to catch a bus to make it across town.
Was your classmate Kamala Harris? Because remember Kamala Harris? I was that young Black child. Remember that?
Yeah. No. There were a lot of white children that got bussed into Black communities. So nobody wants to talk about the fact of, you know, we're talking about all families, all kids, Black and white, suffered as a result of these policies. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like school vouchers. And I hate to get off on a tangent here, but everybody's talking about, well, we got to give them parents money so the kids could go to the Christian school or the synagogue or the Jewish school or the Hebrew school or wherever, or the mosque. But, you know, here's the deal. The only reason they're doing that is because the taxpayer-funded schools are so lousy. Well, here's a thought. Why don't we fix the taxpayer-funded schools first?
Well, because they're going to want more money to throw at them, remember?
Of course.
Look at how much money we threw at schools during COVID to make them safe for the teachers and the students. Remember that whole boondoggle? And that was just grift. I'd love to know where that money went, because there's a lot of people's pockets that got that money. I'm not giving the public schools any more money. I'm not giving them any more money. They don't go to, I had to pay for air conditioning to be put in our school in town, but they don't go to school in the summer. Why do they have to pay for air conditioning? They don't go, they're like Congress. They don't go to school in the summer. They don't work in the summer. Why did I have to pay for air conditioning? You know, no, I'm not. My property taxes here in the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey are almost $21,000 a year. And the bulk of that goes to schools. So no, because every school has to have an assistant principal, like the leadership that you have. Our school here in town has one class for each grade. There's like 30 kids in each grade. That's it. Like, that's what we have. No cafeteria. The kids go home or they whatever. But yet we have to have a principal, a vice principal, and an associate principal. It's ridiculous. So it's all the union stuff. So no, they get no more money. I'm done with that. No, I'm not fixing any of these schools anymore. I'm done. Give them vouchers and let it sort itself out.
Mary Walter on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Mary, always good to hear from you. Thank you.
I did this just for you, by the way, Todd. Hair and makeup just for you.
You look good. I mean, you really look good. I'm just telling you, conservative women are the most beautiful women in America. I mean, what do you want me to say?
My hair is a bit of a mess, but I figured this is as good as
you're
getting.
You look great.
Thank you, honey.
The queen,
thanks for having me. Bye.
The queen of talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, Mary Walter on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, still a lot of questions about this report. President Trump said yesterday that somebody in the White House leaked details of the planned weekend attack against Iran. So the United States was gearing up for what would have been a World War II level attack against Iran. And the president backed off. Somebody leaked the information to the Iranians. And the Iranians begged the president not to do it, that they were finally willing to come back to the table, which I don't believe, but whatever. That's not the point here. We need to be asking a lot of very important questions about who leaked the details of that plot. Was it somebody in the Pentagon? Was it somebody in the White House? We need to know who did that. And here's the reason why. Depending on the circumstances here, and there are a few caveats, but depending on the circumstances, the way this has been presented to the American people, this is a direct violation of the Espionage Act. And the fact of the matter is, somebody leaking confidential military plans, that can be a death penalty crime in the United States. This is a very serious, very dangerous situation because we've got, 50,000 military personnel over there in the Middle East right now? Every single one of their lives was jeopardized by this leak. Every single one of them. So it seems to me that we need to get to the bottom of it. I know that we do a lot. There's a lot of talk about, we're going to hold people accountable. No. Everything needs to come to a grinding halt while we figure out what happened over the weekend. Who was it that leaked this information and got this information into the hands of the Iranians? That is just simply unacceptable. Now, the death penalty becomes a legal option under the statute of the, this is Federal Criminal Code, 18 U.S.C. Section 794. A person can face the death penalty if they communicate information regarding military plans, armed forces movements, or war materials with the intent that it be communicated to the enemy. And that's certainly what it appears to look like here. So let's get to the bottom of it, find out who did it, and if in fact these people, and hear me on this, if this rises to the level of a death penalty case, I think the death penalty must be imposed here. And the reason why is we've got to send a message to everybody working in the government, everybody working in the Pentagon, everybody working in some military, military unit, it doesn't matter. You need to understand there will be a price to pay for doing something like this and for leaking information, giving, quite frankly, aid and comfort to the enemy. We will see. I do not hold out hope that we will get to the bottom of it, but the White House has a leak problem. And that needs to be remedied lickety-split, as they say. All right, ToddStearns.com, folks. We have some great stories up there, including our interview we did with E.W. Jackson, Bishop Jackson, on why the Smithsonian is becoming so woke. I want to encourage you to check that out over at ToddStearns.com. Also, we've got the story of the Denver City Council wanting to begin each meeting now with an acknowledgement of slavery in a state that was never meant to be a slave state. So go and check out some of our great content. All of you Memphis folks in the Memphis area, tonight, 6:30 to 8, drop by, grab some coffee, celebrate fellowship with us. I want you to come and meet the team. You'll also be able to purchase a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. I'll be autographing copies as well and would love to be able to meet you and your families. Again, it's a drop-by kind of event. You don't have to stay terribly long. I know you've got a lot of stuff to do with school back and things of that nature, but we would love for you to come out. And our great sponsor for the night, Congressman David Kustoff, sponsoring our book launch party. We are so grateful for the great work the congressman is doing, not only for his congressional district, but also for the great people of America. So we really appreciate that. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Again, 6:30 If you'd like information, go to our website. We'll be at JoJo's Espresso, one of the great coffee houses here in the Mid-South. In the meantime, folks, ToddStearns.com. You can download our podcast if you want to listen to any of our interviews. Also, you can download our free newsletter that comes out every morning, chock full of great news and content, all sorts of great information. All right, got to scoot out of here. We will see you tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern, right here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Be good, America.